Tony.
Good morning. How are you
Good morning.
doing?
Good. How about you?
I'm doing well.
Good.
I'm going to start the with just you on the line, and I know others will join in as we start, but it takes about 20, 25 minutes to do our morning because of all of the Hebrew that we're doing. And it's really about the energy of what we're doing, the Hebrew that we're doing, as I know you understand. So please join me in saying the Ana Bekoach. Ana Bekoach Gedulat Yemincha Tatir Zerura Aleph Bet Gimel Yutat Tzadi Kabel Rinat Amcha Sagdenu Taharenu Nora Kufre Shayan Sintet Nun Nagibor Dorshe Yehudcha Kevavat Shamrem Nun Gimel Dalet Yud Kaf Shin Barachem Tacharem Rachame Sitkatcha Tamid Gamlem Betet Resh Tzadi Taf Gimel. My mistake. Shin Kuf Bet Tet Nun Ayin.
Good morning. Good morning, Hannah.
Barchem Tacharem Rachame Sikatha Tamid Tamlem Betet Resh Tzadi Tach Gimel Chasin Kadosh Birov Tuvcha Nael Adata Tet Kuf Bet Tet Nun Ayin Yachid Geh Lamcha Penei Zochrei Kiddushata Yud Gimel Lamed Pei Zayin Kuf Shavatenu Kabel Ushma tziakatenu yodea talumot shinkufav tzadiyutav. We have brought the energy of creation into our space, and now we will separate between the right column energy and the left column energy of that creation. We will utilize the 13 attributes of mercy for this purpose. Adonai Yohei Wahei Adonai Yohei Wahei El Rachum Vechanun Erech Apaim Verav Chesed Be'emet Notze Chesed La'alafim Notzeaon Wafesha Vechata'av Venakei. The energy of the year 5778, our current year, is that of bowing to Hashem in order to walk with Hashem. There are two verses that connect to this energy in the Tanakh. The first one that we study is 2 Samuel chapter 13, verse 6. Vayishkav Amnon Vayitchal vayavo Hamelech liroto Vayomer Amnon El Hamelech Pavo Nata Marahoti Put La Bevle Ene Chute Levivot Vievre Meada. The second verse that connects to this energy is from Psalms. It is chapter 32, verse 5. Hatatihi odiaha viavoni lo kisiti amarti ode ale peshai la donayo he wahe viata nasata avon hatati sela. The year 5777, the year of the goat, also has two verses that connect to its energy. And the first verse that we study in this, for this year, for that energy, is Lamentations chapter 3, verse 52. Tzod saduni katzipor oyevai chinam. When we take the first letters of these words, we're able to create Satz Ki Ach, three Hebrew letter words that translate as appear like brothers. When we take the final letters of the words, we have Dir Yam, which translates as a sea of tenants. The second verse is from Joshua, chapter 23, verse 8. And as said, this verse connects to the year 5777, the year of the goat. Kim ba Adonai Yohewahe Elohechem tadebaku kasher asitem ad hayom hazeh. The year 5776, known as the year of the pause, also has two verses that connect to its energy. The first that we study is 2 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 34. Racha kohanim hayu limat velo yachlu lehavshit et kol haolot Vayehaskum achechem halevim ad kelotam lacha yad yitkadshu hakohanim ki halevim yishrei levav lehitkadesh me hakohanim. There are 25 words in this verse. When we take the first letter of each word, we're able to permute them into eight names of God. Adonai Yohewahe, Valahe, Wawawa, Yolayo Alame, Hey, 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 Aka'a, Rekacha. The second verse that connects to this energy of 5776, the energy of the pause, is Isaiah chapter 26, verse 4. The name of the year, Tafshin Ayin Zion, is concealed in this verse. The letters of the name of the year are separated by seven letters each. Bidchu ba'adonai yohewahe adead ki biya yohe adonai yohewahe. The year 5775, the year of the energy of which is swallowing death. There are three verses that connect to this energy. The first is Job chapter 7, verse 19. Kamalo tishemimeni lo tarpeni ad bili ruki. The second verse we study is 1 Samuel chapter 23, verse 23. Uru udu mikol hamachavo yiya asher yichabe sham washavtem elai el nachom v'halakti itchem v'chayayim yeshno v'aretz v'hipasti oto b'kol alfei Yehuda. And the third is also from Job. It's chapter 20, verse 7. Kegelo lanetzach yoved roav yom ruayo. The year 5774 has the energy of peace in the Middle East. There is only one verse that connects to this energy. It's 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 10. Wesamti makom leamili Israel untati vishakan tahta vilo yirgaz od vilo yosifu vene avla laanoto ka asher barishona. We're now going to read a verse from the Zohar that connects to the energy of certainty. It's from Parashat Yitro, it's Pasuk 29. And we will say L'shem Yehud first. L'shem Yehud kud shabarichu ishkinte bid hilu Erhimud hilud hilu erhimu V'yachda l'shem yud he b'vav he Be'yehuda shilim b'shem kol Yisrael Le'mud Torah mitzvah La'asok Torah mitzvah Vayhino am Adonai Eloheinu aleinu ma'asei yadeinu konenei aleinu ma'asei yadeinu konenehu. Rabbi Abba Amar Bekama Atar Tanenan Dekucha Perihu Kol Madi Aved Le'ela Witata Kolaihu Kishot Biovada Dikshot Ve'le'lach Mila Bialma Divae Barnash Ledach Yaleya Mineya Ulam Haga Beya Kalana Dehakulu Ovada Dikshot Inun Wikola Itzderich Bialma. We're now going to connect to the 72 names of God. And we do that by taking each letter of the 216 letters, using its root vowel, and saying that sound out loud. Wahe wayo layo sayote alame mehe shila lahe aka aka heta. Hezayo alada la awa he hea yozala me behe he reyo he kome la awa kalayo la wawa pe he la al na nu la ha yo 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 me la he 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 wa Nuta he he a a yo re ta shi a he re yo yo a wa me la ka be wa shi re yo he wa la he he ka wa ko me mu da anu yo he a me re he ya yo hey, 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 may yo ha, wa wa la yo la hey, sa a la re yo, a shi la may yo hey, wa hey wa da nu yo, hey si a mo may, nu nu a nu yo ta, may hey 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 wa yo. Do me me yo yo la hey re hey me ta re wa me be yo hey hey anu wa me hey yo. Da me be me nu ka me nu ko ya yo he a be be wa re a hey. Yo be me hey yo yo me wa me. We'll now connect with the 72 names from the Sadikin using the same technique. Wa 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 yo 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 sa be be ya a me me be shi la yo hey anu a ka be ta. Hey, hey, yo, anu da, la, hey, wa, me, hey, me, ya. Yo, cha, la, me, re, hey, hey, yo, yo, hey, me, hey. La, wa, wa, cha, be, yo, la, yo, wa, hey, nu, la. Nu, me, ha, yo, hey, yo, me, nu, hey, 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 wa. Nu yo hey hey she ah yo re ta she ah hey re la yo ah wa me la yo be wa hey re yo yo wa la hey hey ka ah ko me nu da ah nu yo hey wa me re hey ah yo hey za hey she hey me ka ho. Me ha ha wa wa la yo yo hey sa a la a re yo a la me sa hey wa hey wa da la yo hey yo si a la me nu hey a nu wa ta me la hey pe a yo nu ko me yo re la hey be hey me za re. Wa hey be yo a hey a la wa me za yo da hey be me ka ko a la a hey hey wa re la hey yo yo me hey la wa yo me hey me. The Sadikim who left this day, which is the 23rd day of Heshvan. Rabbi Aharon Katzin Ellenbogen of Brisk, Rabbi Moshe ben Rabbi Yaakov Leib Midner, Rabbi Yehosef ben Rabbi Tzvi Rotenberg of Koson, Rabbi Tzvi Aryeh, ben Rabbi Aaron Betzalel Lippel, Rabbi Moshe Midner of Slonim Baranowitz. And is our want on Sundays, since we don't have an evening class, we say the Sadikim who will have chosen to leave tonight and tomorrow as well. That would be the 24th day of Heshvan. Benjamin HaSadik, the son of Yaakov Avinu. Rabbi Hillel Moshe ben Rabbi Tzvi Hirsch, the Mashal. Rabbi Abraham Azulai is a very famous, very intuitive Kabbalist from the 1600s. Rabbi Gedalia of Zalka'a, Rabbi Raphael Cohen ben Rabbi Yehuziel Ziskind of Hamburg, Rabbi Chaim Yosef Brookstein, Rabbi David Twersky of Makarov, Rabbi Hillel Moshe Meshel Geldenstein, Rabbi Raphael David Auerbach, Rabbi Gedalia Moshe Goldman of Tzvil, Rabbi Nahum Dov of Cohen Treisman. In the eighth verse of the Anna Bekoah, we say in a whisper, today's class continues our study on the goodness of the land of Israel, the Sefer Tuv Laharet. We are to find the handout. Please go to the Revealed Wisdom Matrix, which you will find. You will find the handout in row 19, where it says Tu Haaretz, the good of the land of Israel, and the landing page. And the class is class 9D. It's the second class from the bottom of the landing page. And we will start with chapter 12, part 5, the inheritance of Jacob. The angel of destruction. I'm getting quite a bit of static, and I have been for a while. I didn't want to interrupt the morning, the Hebrew connections. So I'd appreciate it if you would mute your phones by pressing *6. Thank you. The angel of destruction has no real power in Israel. And just to clarify, the angel of destruction is the angel of death. According to what we have said previously, namely that Satan has no power to remove a Jewish soul in Eretz Yisrael, that concept shall smooth out as seemingly difficult, saying of the sages, regarding the verse, the land upon which you, meaning Jacob, lay, I, Hashem, am giving to you and your descendants. What kind of great gift is the space of 4 cubits as an inheritance? Rather, Rav Yitzhak teaches that the true meaning of this verse is as follows. God folded the entire land of Israel underneath Jacob to indicate to him that the conquest of the entire land will be as simple as conquering 4 cubits. From here, we should be exacting and deduce that if God had not folded the land underneath Jacob, then we wouldn't be able to conquer it. If that is so, what happened to the promise God made to Abraham at the covenant between the parts? As it says, on that day, God made a covenant with Abraham, saying, for your descendants I have given the land. It is possible to say that what God promised to Jacob was that his children will eternally inherit the land. Yet conquering it might be accomplished with much strife and difficulty. Therefore, it was imperative that God would promise the inheritance through ease. And I am adding, this last sentence implies that the call to move to the land of Israel by the Orthodox rabbinate of this generation is premature. Yet still the question arises, couldn't God have made that same promise through a mere statement? What was the necessity of folding up the land underneath Jacob? The intention of folding the entire land of Israel under Jacob was to develop the malchut in its garments. Based on the secret, the sub-level of Torah interpretation, we can say as follows. And he touched the makom, which is the Hebrew word for place, and rested there. That night, Jacob touched or attained and connected to the level of malchut of Atzilut, which is known as makom. For the letters that are used to spell out malchut have the same numerical value as makom. That realm is also known as Eretz Yisrael Zuta, the small land of Israel. Its place in the stellar world of Partsufim is 4 cubits behind Zeranpin, corresponding to Tiferet, Netzach, Hod, and Yesod. Likewise, Jacob, the Partsuf of Yaakov, stands in front of Zeranpin at the level that corresponds to those 4 as well. Yet when the patriarch Jacob connected with the Makom, it became conquered underneath him as the secret of the Yehud of the unification. That is why God told him that the land upon which he lays shall be given to him, just as in marriage the pair connect eternally. To him and to Zaro, his descendants, as in the verse, a light is Zarua, Hebrew for sown, for the righteous. As per the explanation of the children of Rav Safra, this is from the Zohar, the intention of folding the entire land of Israel under Jacob was to envelope the Malchut in its garments. Per Malchut's most external garments are from the aspect of the Neshama of Asiyah. The middle garments are from the aspect of the Neshama of Yetzirah. The innermost garments are from the aspect of the Neshama of Briah. Yet her 10 lights remain in absolute. They are the 10 sephirot of man with its 10 lights. The 30 garments that descend, they are from the aspect of Ban. The one who has lost something is the one who goes searching for it. Just as the one who has lost something is the one who goes searching for it, the purpose of the descent is to refine the refinement of the vessels of Ban that had a shattered end to re-elevate them to their roots. This is what the idea of the land of Israel, stretching out until it is 400 miles square, means. This is so for each Sephirah is comprised of its own 10. Behold, the 3 worlds, Bria, Yetzirah, and Asiya make up 300 miles, and the 10 sephirot of Ma that remain in Atzilut are also comprised of their own 10, giving us a total of 400 square cubits as the area of Sef Eretz Yisrael. And I am going to add an unwritten commentary. As one goes through some of the translated older discussions in the Kabbalah, essays and various comments, some of which even comes from the Talmud, some of it from the Midrash, but you will find a phrase that doesn't make any sense. That the distance between the inner earth, as an example, it's in many other places, But the distance between each of the seven inner Earths is 500 miles. With the explanation of the 400 cubits that is given in this paragraph, we can apply it as well in that same context to understanding 500 miles by adding the world of Adam Kadmon with its 10 Sephirot. Continuing to read. What did God do? He pulled it up to 30 vessels. Yes?
I'm not sure if this vessel's a bond, B-A-N, or ban. Are they meaning bin?
Yes, but they don't want to say bin.
Okay.
So it's really talking about the Gematria 52.
Okay. Thank you. I'm going to meet again.
The word ben in that context and in the Orthodox communities of that generation 500 years ago was treated with the reverence that has been lost in our generation. So that's why it's bon rather than ben.
Okay. Well, I thought since your previous explanation that maybe it went along with that. So, okay, thank you. I'm going to mute.
Okay. What did Hashem do? He folded up the 30 vessels, one atop the other, and then brought them face to face with Jacob, opposite his four cubits, which represent his Tiferet, Netzach, Hod, and Yesod. Then they all united. That is the meaning of, and he lay down in that place. Jacob lay down in that place. For we would really desire that all her, Malchus 30 Sephirot, would be enough that she could stand next to Zeranpin face to face. This is the mystery of the statement. It was folded that it should be as easy to conquer as four cubits, that it should be easy for his descendants to rectify her, the Malchut and the land, similar to the rectification of Tiferet, Netzach, Hod, and Yesod of Zeranpin itself. The Malchut at times connects with Jacob at the stage of Katnut, immaturity, smallness, at times with Yeshurun during the stage of Yanika, nursing, and with Israel at the stage of Gadlut, maturity, as we shall discuss later, Hashem willing, in the second book about the Mishnah of the 10 sanctifications, which the editor says has not yet been translated. This instructs us that Eretz Yisrael is the land in which is planted the above-mentioned three, Israel, Yeshurun, and Yaakov, whose numerical value equals Eretz, which is 1290, when the Aleph of Eretz has the meaning of 1,000. The ending letters of these three spell Lavan, which Hebrew for Lavan, with Hebrew for white, which indicates to us that through the house of Lavan, Jacob merited to ascend to the level of Israel and Yeshurun, that was accomplished by his marrying of Rachel and Leah. Yet in similar fashion, according to the book Galya Razia by Rav Eliezer from Garmiza, who is known as the Rokeach, we can understand why God folded up the entire land under Jacob. And note Gaya Razia, some authorities surmise to be the book to have been authored by Rabbi Avraham, a student of the Arizal. When God saw that his children would sin and perish from the world, God being that he desires that no soul of the children of Israel be lost, established circumcision upon the flesh of all males. If a person fails to perform this rite, he has cut himself off of the nation. He also established reincarnation, to rectify oneself in order to return to its original source. Satan requested from Hashem to grant him permission to make a covenant with Jacob. At that moment, Satan and his 70 generals gathered before Hashem. They said, "Master of the world, we have also been formed by the work of your hands. You are the Father for all creatures. Just as you have established a path of rectification to the souls of the children of Israel by means of reincarnation, that each one will ultimately receive a portion of the world that is coming, so too do this for us. What did you see that you chose the seed of Abraham over us?" At that moment, Hashem responds to them, "Have you done for me as Abraham did?" Abraham recognized me even from his youth. He lovingly and willingly subjected himself to enter the fiery furnace for me. Yet you saw how I saved him from you and from the fiery furnace. And nonetheless, you didn't believe me to sanctify me. Therefore, from here and onwards, don't say a word, neither positive nor negative. And Satan responds, "The daughters are my daughters, and the sons are my sons, and all you see belongs to me, for I caused them to have a desire for intimacy. Therefore, I am the ultimate cause of their creation." Note, the Satan is the root of the soul of Lavan, as well as the root of Esav and Haman, as we shall see shortly. Here is an unwritten commentary from myself. I just want to clarify this idea of Satan saying, "The daughters are my daughters and the sons are my sons." The evil inclination, which is the Satan within each human being, is the cause of the two different parts of humanity, male and female, coming together in intimacy, coming together to create children. Without the left column, without Satan being that motivation, the two parts of the creation, the male and female, would have no affinity with each other. They would have no reason to be in communication. It's only because they look at each type of physicality, the body of male and the body of female, and find inspiration, find lust, find attraction, all of these various adjectives. This is caused from Satan and will continue to be caused by Satan, although in a controlled manner after the Mashiach, during the Mashiach period and after the Mashiach. But that is what Satan is saying. Because I caused that man or that woman to be attracted to her marriage partner or his marriage partner, because I am the one that causes that, I have created these children. Meaning all of the children of Israel have a connection to Satan. I'm continuing to read. God replies, "Evil one, being that I had known that you would say such vile things, I preempted you and commanded Abraham to circumcise his whole household. Further, I wrote in the Torah, any uncircumcised man who doesn't remove his foreskin shall be cut off from his nation. Your portion shall be the foreskin, being that you arouse the lust." An unwritten commentary just to reinforce this discussion. Why do we have circumcision? Why did Hashem, one, create the foreskin, and two, then he tells us to cut it off? The answer is, he created the foreskin to be the end of the body. And anything that has an end has no connection to Hashem, because Hashem has no end. So the foreskin is for those people who are uncircumcised. There is a lot more difficulty in controlling their lusts. But by removing the foreskin, burying it in the earth, as is done, we are returning it to Satan, and that is his portion. The end of things is his portion. That's how we know that the end of a business, the failure of a business, the loss of monies, all of these things are connected to Satan because they indicate an end. So let me continue to read. When Satan saw that the judgment wasn't in his favor, he requested from Hashem to grant him permission to make a covenant with Jacob, saying, "In the future, he, Jacob, shall be my son-in-law. I, Satan, will give him my daughters as wives, and we shall live in peace together." At that point, God granted him permission to give his daughters to Jacob as wives. I could make a commentary here, but I'm going to leave it alone for you to contemplate it. If at the end of the class you want to ask that question, please feel free to do so. Jacob began crying and established the evening prayer through his tears. Then Satan left the heavenly courthouse in a similar fashion to the way that his descendant Haman left the palace of Ahasuerus, as it says, "And Haman left with happiness and content of heart." Then Satan waited until the time when Isaac and Rebekah sent Jacob to Paddan Aram. He plotted to follow him and kill him, for he was enraged with him in regards to Jacob's deceiving Esau out of the blessing and the birthright, especially after Isaac ratified it, as it says, "And the Lord, Shaddai, shall bless you." Therefore, what did he do? As soon as Jacob left Beersheba, Satan sent Eliphaz to confront Jacob. Eliphaz is one of the children of Esau. Eliphaz caught Jacob on that very day and took everything that Jacob owned. This is why the verse, "And Jacob left Beersheba and went to Haran." The comma or the pause in the trope indicates that each was its own episode. This also indicates to us that Satan is associated with Charonah, meaning the characteristic of rage, a play on the name Haran. Because of his anger, this was displayed by his going out to exact vengeance upon Jacob. We see that after the sun had set on Jacob, he was overcome with fear. And because he was left all alone in the field at night, as we know, a Torah scholar requires guarding. At that point, Jacob began crying and established the evening prayer through his tears. Upon viewing Jacob's fear and humility, Satan left him, causing him no harm. Thus far, the book Galia Razia. In my opinion, the above is very far-fetched, for just because it seemed that Jacob was afraid, Satan decided to leave him alone? On the contrary, when one is afraid, then his heavenly assistance is worsened or lessened, and it is very easy to do away with him. As it is said, when the ox falls, sharpen the knife. Especially having such a deep-seated hatred towards Jacob from the day he was born, how could he be transformed into pitying him right when he had fallen into his hands? Furthermore, does Satan even have the capacity for pity? For all bile and fury dwell within him. Satan has no power over the children of Israel in Eretz Yisrael. We can resolve this problem with what we had mentioned previously, namely being that Satan has no power over the children of Israel in Eretz Yisrael. Hashem saw a way to protect Jacob. What did he do? He folded the entire land of Israel underneath Jacob, which effectively prevented Satan from harming Jacob. That caused Satan to grind his teeth at Jacob, trying to figure a way to harm him, especially after Hashem had shown Jacob all his promises by means of the dream with the angels and the ladder. Satan also saw part of Jacob's promises. This enraged him even more, for all was futile. That is why the next morning when Jacob got up, the Torah describes it as, and Jacob lifted his feet and traveled to the land of the sons of Kedem. The term lifting feet implies the alacrity and joy Jacob was feeling after receiving the promises and reassurances from Hashem. As our sages say, the belly carries the feet, meaning that when Jacob received the good tidings from Hashem, his heart was elevated and lifted his feet. When the verse states, and he traveled, it is preceded by a comma or a pause. That indicates to us that there are two distinct occurrences. One was Jacob's joyous departure, the other was Satan's journey to the land of the sons of Kedem, where he tried attaining advice from the two fallen angels, Aza and Azael, as to how to destroy Jacob. According to the above, we must try to understand what message Hashem was conveying to Jacob by showing him the vision of the ladder. Here is an unwritten commentary that I think needs to be said at this point. We've now had two times in this section where the trope sign on a particular word that creates a pause in the sentence, in the verse in the Tanakh, in the Torah, that trope, creating the pause, gives us insight into the meaning of the verse, gives us insight into the levels of the verse, gives us insight into the process of life. And so I recommend that people, even though you do not plan to read from the Torah, you do not plan to be a Torah reader, a chanter, learn the trope to understand what is a pause, which trope are pauses, which trope are connected to each other, which tropes are independent of each other. This information will enhance your understanding of the various verses. Now, I have never written about this in any of my writings, but I think it's something that I will begin to do, possibly. And also, it's something that needs to be considered as part of your Torah growth. It's not something you need to do at the beginning of your Torah growth, but at some point you need to become conversant in what the trope marks represent. I'm going to continue to read. Apparently, when God saw the fear of Satan upon Yaakov, he wanted to show Jacob the truth about the power of Satan. Therefore, God showed him the ladder. When Hebrew is sulam, which is with a gematria of 130 plus 1 for the kolel, whose numerical value equals that of Satan, which is 131. For Satan is the symbol of denying the unity of Hashem. Yet Hashem was revealing to Jacob that even though Satan, the sulam, the ladder, is on the earth attempting to eliminate you, nonetheless his head reaches heaven. This means that while Satan's head is rooted in the heavens, he's ultimately controlled by Hashem and has no permission to do either good nor bad to anyone, especially to Jacob. His head reaches the angel Memtet in the heavens. He has no permission to take any soul without the permission of Memtet. I am adding, and we learned earlier that Memtet has no permission without receiving the death notice from Hashem himself. Furthermore, when the verse says the angels were ascending and descending upon it, it refers to Memtet. In other words, Satan has no permission in Eretz Yisrael. Rather, it is Gabriel who is granted permission. And this is why the Torah uses the term Malachai Elohim, angels of Hashem. For Elohim implies the quality of judgment, and Gabriel and Satan are both angels of judgment, ascending to prosecute and descending to take the soul. Upon it, with the permission of Memtet, who is the ruler of the 6 days of the week. An unwritten commentary, this hints at that Satan does not have permission to take the soul of any person on Shabbat. People do die on Shabbat in the past. Whether they will in the future is up to the individuals. But Satan did not take any person who passed away on Shabbat, only during the 6 days of the week. whether they were in the land of Israel when the angel of destruction was Gabriel, or whether they were in outside of the land of Israel when Satan himself did the action. Continuing to read. And behold, Hashem was standing above him, meaning Mentet. This was to teach us not to make the same mistake that Elisha ben Aguvia made. For Elisha mistook Mentet as an independent power, God forbid. Therefore, when you see all the heavenly angels performing the bidding of Mentet, taking the quota of souls he assigns them, don't think that it is his independent decision, for Hashem is standing above him. And therefore, don't be afraid, for behold, I am with you, and I shall guard you wherever you shall go. An unwritten commentary. Elisha ben Aguvia is one of the four who entered the Garden of Eden, who ascended one, died. I'm trying to remember the story. It's in the Talmud in the section of Haggigah, and it's the famous story where Rabbi Akiva entered and left in peace. But the other three, Elisha ben Aguvia was the third one, and he became a heretic, because what he saw was Satan and Hashem being equal in power, and that is a mistake. Hashem controls Satan. Hashem controls everything, and that is the unity of Hashem. But in our world, and in as you ascend in the meditations, many times people begin to think that Satan is equal to Hashem, because that is the way Hashem creates the illusion of free will, the illusion of the physical world that gives us free will, because we cannot see the result, the effect of our own actions. Elisha ben Aguvia was able to perceive or pierce that illusion, but what he saw was still false. He was seeing Hashem being on the same level as Satan, and that is a corruption, that is false. Continuing to read. Even though Michael came and wrestled with Jacob, he is just one of the 70 names for Memtet, and he bruised him in the indent of the hip. This happened when Jacob refused to let go of Michael. The forces of Michael wanted to endanger Jacob, and at that point, Hashem appeared, frightening the hosts of Michael, yet simultaneously weakening Jacob. This gave Michael the opportunity to break free. He did this by bruising Jacob in his hip. At that point, God rebuked Michael, saying, "Nice job. You've just rendered my high priest invalid for service." Immediately, Michael set out to find Raphael, the angel of healing, to come and heal Jacob. After that, and Jacob lifted his feet, implying that Jacob was elated at the news of his elevated stature, whereas Satan went to seek counsel from Nophel and Gilui Anaim as to how to contend with Jacob. The advice he received was to go to Laban and convince him to give his daughters to Jacob. (Clears throat) Immediately, Satan went to Laban's house and enclosed himself in the teraphim, the idols of Laban. When Jacob made it to Laban's house empty-handed, Laban didn't want to receive him, for Laban remembered how Jacob's grandfather's servant, Eliezer, had brought such lavish gifts when looking for a wife for Isaac. Laban went to the teraphim for advice. Satan, through the teraphim, responded, "Don't send him away. Rather, give your daughters to him so that they shall rule over him. He will thus be subjugated to the Klipot, and we'll be able to do whatever we want with him." Hence, Laban returned to Jacob, saying, "Just because we are related, should you work without pay? Tell me your wages." Jacob responded that he only wanted to marry Rachel. Subsequently, he married both of Laban's daughters. Laban was under the impression that his daughters sided with him and would be victorious over Jacob. Yet God foiled his plans, and in the very same pot, Laban planned to boil up Jacob. He himself got boiled. His daughters became completely righteous, giving birth to 12 tribes without flaw. That's how the advice of the general, opposite holiness, can reflect all one's strategies back upon the partner, on the planner. That's what is meant by the verse, "Your ruiners and your destroyers shall emerge from you." Laban thought his daughters would seduce Jacob to follow Laban's gods. Yet they rebelled against their father and his gods, as it says, and they said, "We have no more portion in our father's house." I am adding, do you think that Jacob wrestled with Michal? Remember, many Kabbalah authors will conceal some aspect so that only the knowledgeable will be able to understand. That is the end of the section. There's a short section left, so while we're out of time, I'm going to continue and finish. Does anybody have any questions at this point about this section? Retrieving Angels, Chapter 12, Part 6.
I have a question, Hanok.
Kabbalah. Go ahead, Jasmine.
There is a part that caught my attention very much, that is when you said that Satan was grinding his teeth. What does it really mean, grinding teeth?
It's a question I've never considered, so thank you for that. There is a process in our mouths that begins the separation between good and evil. When we eat something physical, there's a mixture of energy. All of the malchut, all of the physical world, is a mixture of the two energies, right palm and left palm. I'm getting some static, so it may be better to mute your phone, and I'll give you time if you need to ask another question. Anything physical has this mixture of right column and left column energy. This is why we say at the end of the Anabakoah, we've created something. And we need to separate between the right and left column energies, because as long as it's in the physical world, it needs to be separated, because it's always mixed. It's created mixed. That's the concept, a very limited concept, limited in my understanding of what the church says about the original sin. But bringing it back to your question about tea, when we put something in our mouth, there's a process of grinding, of chewing. There's a process of saliva that softens the food. All of this is starting the process that is called digestion. And it flows from the beginning of our lips and our teeth primarily, is the beginning of that separation until the defecation, what comes out of our back end, which is only waste product, only negativity. There's nothing left. There's no spiritual energy. There's no physical energy. It has no benefit for the human body. But within the digestive process, spiritual energy is sent to the spiritual levels, and physical energy is apportioned appropriately for the parts of the body. And the beginning of that process is the grinding of teeth. So I hope that answers your question. But if you have more, please let us know, and we'll answer those or attempt to answer those as well. So we're beginning Chapter 12, Part 6. Kabbalah teaches that the servants of the angels of death and judgment retrieve dead souls. Regarding our previous topic on the means through which one soul is collected after death, the angels Gabriel and Satan themselves don't take the departed soul. Rather, they send an underling. These forces are known to have been created from the particles that fell during the shattering of the vessels. Their root is in the name of Sod, 63, connection to Bina. For there comes the evil inclination for each individual. As soon as they accomplish their mission, they disappear. The initials of Satan and Gabriel are Sod. That is the essence of the verse, they were all dross. In Hebrew, the word is Sod. In other words, each one that takes people's souls is of the servants of Sod. And as soon as they accomplish their mission, they disappear. As is stated, together they have become depraved, for both the man and his evil inclination die together. As the verse declares, there is no doer of good, that there remains not even one. Being that the angel of death, the evil inclination, and the Satan are one and the same. Therefore, there is no good. In other words, each of them entice for bad, for he will seduce, then prosecute, and then take the soul, simultaneously ending his own existence. That is what is meant by the verse, there remains not even one. Even the angels cease to exist. This is true despite the fact that he himself knows and even sees from others before him that he will terminally perish as soon as the soul is taken from the children of Israel. The reason for this is that they are only satisfied with the souls of the children of Israel, much more than with 1,000 Gentiles. That is the end of this section, the end of our class. Are there any questions? I hope you are, if not beginning to understand, continuing to understand how important this particular sefer is in your study of Kabbalah. Our class today at 3 o'clock will continue our studies in advanced reincarnation. The times are West Coast times. Monday, there are two classes, one at 4:30, which is a mini Zohar class, where we continue to expand on section 14 in the Parsha of Noach. And at 7 o'clock, we have the essays from Rabbi Ashlag. A week from today, there will be a third class at 7 o'clock for Rosh Chodesh Kislev. As you heard today, we're already at the 23rd and almost to the 24th of Cheshvan. We're in that fourth week. We're in the Malchut of the month of Cheshvan. And the Malchut is the manifestation. Remember your tool of binding by striking this week. Use it well, use it long, use it frequently. A week from Sunday night is Rosh Chodesh Kislev. Kislev is the month of miracles. It's the month where all miracles are created in potential. That is what the holiday of Hanukkah is about. That's what Rosh Chodesh has the energy of. The potential of the potential of every miracle that can happen in your life this coming year. Please attend. It's important. I'm sure that you're finding this year is a little bit chaotic. Even for people who are connected to the Zohar, even for people who are studying the Kabbalah, there's a little bit more chaos in your lives than there was last year. A little bit more chaos than even the year before. We need the miracles. We need to develop those miracles. We need to warrant and earn those miracles. And that's potentially what the month of Kislev can become. So I wish you all a Shavua Tov. Are there any questions before I sign off? Shalom to all. Have a beautiful, beautiful afternoon and week. Shavuot Tov.
Shavuot Tov. Thank you. Shavuot
Tov. By the way, Bernice, I forgot to say hello to you, and I apologize, but I was right in the middle.
All right. I'm happy I was able to get here today. As you say, it's been a little more chaos than usual. But, you know, there was one... Can I ask you one thing?
You're breaking up, so and we're being recorded, so why don't you call me right back?
Oh, okay, I will. Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.